Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1061. Today, we're going to look at the period of the Exodus. What an incredible period this is. Now, I hope that you will be able to follow along as far as listening, and then as soon as you can, write some of these things down, because I'm telling you, it was years before I understood the biblical aspects of dating people, dating periods. And so I'm going to give you some real help today, if you have never understood this, about how we arrive at the dates that we do. And so some of it is involved in the sense of you have to add and subtract. And for some of us, that's a challenge. But for others, it's a breeze. You can do all of this in your head. But from a scriptural standpoint, it is necessary to date things according to the Bible, because the Bible is the final authority, not just in spiritual matters, but in historical matters, in matters of geography, of linguistics, of all of those things, those different arenas and areas that we talk about in line with biblical inspiration. Because if God is wrong on these, what we would call menial things, then how do we know that he is not wrong on things that really pertain to eternal life, to our well-being, to his nature? But the reality is, God is perfect and right in every way, and so is his revelation of himself that we call the Word of God or the Bible. And so we're going to look, first of all, at the period itself. Now, I date the period of the Exodus in approximate years so that people can really get this in their mind between 1500 and 1400. Now, in reality, Moses would have been born in the 1600s BC at the latter end of it, as you're counting down. And so he would have been born in the 1600s, but he would have lived until the period that begins the conquest under Joshua. And so what I'm going to do is help you to just understand how we arrived at this period that we call the period of the Exodus. First of all, let's look at what happened in the books that are covered during this period. And that would be, as far as the writing, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, you understand that these are Greek names, and these names come from the Septuagint translation of the Bible, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. And when the Septuagint was translated, there was a different arrangement than the law, the prophets, and the writings. Now, that is the arrangement, the Hebrew arrangement, that would have made up the Hebrew Bible during the days of Jesus and before and after. It still is today. We call it the law, the prophets, and the writings, but the Hebrew names are Torah. That's the word for instruction, by the way, not law. We translate it law every time we see it, and most people think it means law, but it doesn't. It means instruction. Because what the law is instruction on how to know God, what pleases God, how God is to be approached. All of those moral and ceremonial laws are instructions in how to obtain righteousness. And a man can never be made righteous through the law, because no one can keep the law. It shows us like a mirror what we look like, but it cannot cleanse us. Just like a glass mirror, it can show you what you are, but it cannot deal with how to get rid of whatever it is that is defiling you. And so what I want us to do is understand that it was during the period of the Exodus that Genesis was written down, because Moses is the one who wrote it down. And remember, I gave you the 10 divisions from which Moses would have written down the great book of Genesis. And that all begins with the word toldot, which is the word that's usually translated. These are the generations of, this is the history of, this is the lineage of, etc. And so Moses wrote all of that down based upon not only verbal, but no doubt written records. And so that's how the book of Genesis comes along. Now, the word Genesis is a Greek word, and it means beginnings, or it really has to do with its origins, with born, B-O-R-N, or to give birth. And so it has to do with how things got started. And that's the book of Genesis. Now, in Hebrew, it's the word Bereshit, which is the first word of the first verse of the Bible. The first word in the Bible is Bereshit. And that is what the name of the book is in Hebrew. Jesus would have known the book as Bereshit, which means it's beginningly, or to begin with. Not once upon a time. We're not following an Aesop's fable, but it is the word for beginning. The word Exodus is a Greek word. Of course, all these books are named that because it is the Greek from which we take our names. We take not only the names of the books of the Bible, but we also take the divisions, not the law, the prophets, and the writings, the Torah, the prophets, the Nevi'im, or the Ketuvim, which is the word for writings. That's how Jesus would have known it. But we instead have law, we have history, we have poetry, etc., the major, the minor prophets, those kinds of things. That's not the divisions that were in the Hebrew Bible. That's Greek. And so you have the word Genesis, which means beginnings. The Hebrew name is Bereshit. Exodus is Ekhodas. Ek is a preposition meaning out of or out from. And the word Hodas is the word way or road or path. And so Ekhodas is the way out. That's the Greek name for it. And that's what we have in our Bibles is the Greek name Ekhodas, Exodus. But the word Shemot is the word that is the name of the book of Exodus in Hebrew, Shemot or Shemot, and it is the word for names. It's plural, Shemot, for names. Shem is the word for name, the name, name, N-A-M-E, Shem, as in the son of Noah. His name was Name. He was the keeper of the name, and the name was passed on down through Shem. So Shemot, when you have that O-T on the end, it's plural. And so Leviticus, that is pertaining to the tribe of Levi, and it's the priestly regulations and codes. But the name in Hebrew is Vayikra, Vayikra. And that means, and he, that is God, called, and he called. Numbers in our Bible is called numbers in English, but it's the Greek word arithmoi, where we get our word arithmetic. Arithmoi, the word for numbers. But in Hebrew, it's bamidbar. That's the word for desert. It's the word for the dry place, the desert. And then Deuteronomos is the word for second law. Deutero means second, not two, but second. And nomos is the word for law in Greek. So Deuteronomos is not the second law, but the rehearsal of the law. You rehearse something. You go over it a second time, a third time. And so Moses was rehearsing the law. Before he died, he was summarizing the law of God to the people and where they had been, where they had come from, and where they were going, and what God's expectations were. Then he summed up the law. As a matter of fact, out of the category of Torah, the book of Deuteronomy is quoted by Jesus more than any other, and I believe that's because it is the summary, and that's what people usually remember would be the summary, and so they would be very familiar with Deuteronomy, and so the law is summarized there. But the word in Hebrew, the name of the book, is not Deuteronomos, Deuteronomy, but Devarim, words. These were the words of Moses. And so that is the period of the Exodus from the standpoint of the books that are contained in that. And those books were written within the lifetime of Moses, except for the ending, of course, of Moses' life. He didn't write about that before it happened. Joshua, no doubt, would have written that down when he wrote down his book, had the memoirs there. But the next thing that would be important for you to know is the period of the Exodus is the date of the Exodus itself. Now, if you watched the Ten Commandments by Cecil B. DeMille, or you went to a school, for those of you who are Baptists, if you went to most state schools in Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, wherever you are, you probably got the most liberal of the viewpoints in your introduction to scriptures or Old Testament survey or New Testament survey. Those are usually taught or were during a period of time when I was growing up from liberal perspectives. And so the dating would have been in the 1200s. And that's what you see in most commentaries that are not written from a biblical conservative standpoint. But I believe in the biblical dating, and we have a very exact date of 1446 based upon the dating from the Bible. So you say, well, how in the world do you get the dating from the Bible? Well, we go back to passages that deal with the biblical record itself. And there is a passage that I start with, and I want you to write these down. I want you to check them out for yourself. In 1 Kings chapter 6, that's 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1, here's what it says, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, he began to build the house of the Lord." So that's a very specific date and month. And that would have been in the fourth year of Solomon's reign. So how do we know exactly when Solomon reigned? Well, we can go to a very specific date that we know from historical records and from the Bible. It was 931 BC, 931 years before the birth of Christ, that is, according to the dating that we usually go by, although Jesus was more than likely born between 6 and 4 BC. I think it was closer to 6 BC myself, because I believe when Herod died in 4 BC, which is historical record, that Jesus would have been about 2 years old. And so I believe that is when Jesus would have been born somewhere. I believe Jesus would have been born somewhere around 6 BC, between 5 and 6, because I believe he would have been 18 months to 2 years old when Herod died. Herod the Great, that is, that killed the babies. And I believe he died very soon after that. More than likely, God killed him for such an atrocity. So this is exactly how we date things. And so Solomon died in 931 BC. Now, we know that Solomon reigned 40 years. We know David reigned 40 years. We know Saul reigned 40 years. Each of those in the United Monarchy in that period that we'll get to in a few days, they each reigned 40 years. Now, David's reign was split up between Hebron, where he ruled 7 years, 7.5 years, and then he reigned 33 years in Jerusalem after he'd moved the capital to that no man's land that had not been conquered, but it was in the tribe of Benjamin that he moved it to as a political move in order to unite the tribes of Israel. But it was God's plan all along because of Mount Moriah being the sacred mountain. And so that's for another podcast. But I want you to understand that 931 is when Solomon died. So if you count 40 years, that is 971. You take off in the fourth year and you're down to 67 or 66, somewhere in that area. That would let you know when the temple began to be built. And according to the scriptures in 1 Kings 6:1 that I just read to you, you would add on 480 years. Now, why? Because that is how long the Bible says that it had been since the Exodus. When you add that together, you're going to get somewhere around 1446. Okay, so that is the period of the Exodus. Now, according to what the Bible says, that it was 430 years, according to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, that the children of Israel had been in the land before the Exodus. That's 430 years. 1446 was the date of the Exodus. So you add 1446 and 430 together, and you'll get 1876. Okay. Now, according to the book of Genesis, chapter 47 and verse 9, Jacob was 130 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So that means that when Jacob went into the land of Egypt, that is, he was 130 years old. So if you're going to get back to dating Abraham, you would take 1876, which is the period from the fourth year of Solomon's reign, when the temple started being built, according to 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. And so from that 1446, you add 430 years. That's how long they were in Egypt. And that will give you 1876. So that is when the children of Israel went into Egypt. Now, it's interesting that the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 47 and verse 9, that Jacob was 130 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So that's how old he was. And he said, I've lived this long, 130 years, because Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? And so he told him. So what you would do is take that 1876, which is the 480, and then 430, that is, years they had been in Egypt since Jacob had gone in, and now you are at 2006. That is when Jacob would have been born. Now, according to the scriptures again, I didn't just make this up, in Genesis 25:26, the Bible says that Isaac was 60 years old when Jacob was born. And so you've got to add to that 2006, 2006, 60. Why? Because that 130 was the age of Jacob when he stood before Pharaoh. That brings us to 2006. And now we've got to add 60 to that. Why? Because that's how old Isaac was when Jacob was born. And that brings us to 2066. Now, what am I trying to get to? I'm trying to get to the age of Abraham, the patriarch, as to when he would have been born. Well, we know that Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. You say, where'd you get that? Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5. So that brings us, adding 2066 and 100 to 2166. So many of you have said, how did you date Abraham at 2166? I started with the death of Solomon and just simply followed the scriptures saying, this is how old this person was when this happened. This is how old this person was when this happened. Now, where did I get that methodology? I got it from a man named Eugene Merrill. He wrote a book called The Historical Survey of the Old Testament. I use that as a text when I am teaching the historical contextual survey of the Old Testament, or the historical contextual introduction to the Old Testament. It is one of the textbooks that I use in the classroom. And I used it when I was in Dallas. I was taught by a man who used that textbook, and then I was able to take classes and study under Eugene Merrill. And so he taught me this methodology. He's the one that taught me the methodology of breaking down the Old Testament into time periods. He didn't go into how he did it. He didn't go into anything like that, but it got my mind to thinking about sectioning off the Bible. Now, this is very important in understanding this period of time, because that will determine how we date the scriptures. And in every scriptural situation, almost without fail, this is how we date historical figures in the Bible. I've gone long, but I hope this will be a blessing to you and help you to understand how to break down the Bible, because after all, we're digging deeper. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org, then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions at tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening and have a blessed day on the way.